Díaz Parques. Díaz Parques.
Welcome back to the Us podcast about us.
Yo,
what up? What is us? It's me. It's you.
It's all of us, bro.
It's all of us. That's the catchphrase. You know who it is.
You know what it is. Kiss,
brr, brr. Hitting you back with another episode. We are here today for another. We have another guest on our podcast.
That's right.
Our second guest podcast today. We have. A friend of ours that I think both of us just recently met, and we were just so floored with how dope she is that we were like, get this fool on the podcast. Stat. Yeah. And so I'll have her introduce herself right now, but her name is Leonisa, but we're gonna be referring to her Leonisa Duarte from Bell. Were you born in Bell?
Yes.
Okay, so I was right. But she went to Bell Gardens.
Yes.
High school. Okay.
Yeah.
Two pieces of correct information for you right there. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. We're going to be referring to her as Leo for the rest of the podcast. So, Leo, what's up?
What's going on, Leo?
What's up?
What's up, bro? What brings you here? Why are you a guest on our podcast?
So, today I was doing nothing and I came outside to go throw trash away on the curb because tomorrow's trash day. Mm-hmm. And Chris Carmona came up in his Lexus and just swiped me from my curb.
Chris Carmona?
Chris Carmona!
I heard he's so hung.
Aw. You're so hung?
No, I said he's so hung. Chris Carmona. Like, you know, like a horse. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about... This is going to be, I think, a super filmmaker episode because all three of them, guess what? Leo is also a filmmaker.
Yeah, I mean, you heard it from the taking out the trash, you
exactly.
know? It's like, that's... who hasn't done that on their off day?
Living in Bell, taking the trash out, you know?
That's our life. Stuff.
But we mention this all the time on this podcast. The main goal of this podcast is to highlight local talent
that's in
Southeast LA, specifically in our city of Bell. And look who it is. It's three Bell people sitting in a room.
That's exactly why I wanted to bring her, especially because when I met her, I was like, okay, she's cool. And then like when I found out she's from fucking Bell and she's doing filmmaking and she's a woman and she's 17, it's like, wow.
Look at all that. Woman, 17, Bell. You can't get
it doesn't
your
get
life just... can't get any harder than that. Straight up.
That's true.
Leo, how did you meet Chris Carmona? How did your paths cross?
Well, it was for a shoot that we had for LA Weekly for a newspaper article for La Leaf.
And La Leaf, shout out to La Leaf. We mentioned them on the last episode.
Yeah. So we were doing an article and we were gonna take photos for the article, and we went up on this like sketchy bridge
in Chinatown.
Nice. over the freeway. Thought they're gonna push us off.
They're like, all right, this is where your road ends.
This is where your career ends.
Yeah.
And it was kind of quiet at first, and then Chris Carmona came in and he only had three of his buttons done.
Oh yeah, you know the classic classic open chest Chris. You'll see it on the in LA Weekly.
You'll see it a couple times.
I thought it was cool, so I tried to talk to him.
You see that? It attracted the attention of somebody.
Yeah, I thought he was cool.
Yeah, I thought he was cool.
I had a terrible headache that
Chris is pretty cool.
Yeah, he is cool.
Wow, a compliment from Angel?
Yeah,
wow.
Chris is pretty cool.
This is like the first time he hasn't shat on me. You know?
Yeah, it only took five episodes.
I know, it only took five episodes deep.
Yeah, but fuck it. Chris Carmona is pretty cool. Sometimes not.
Oh, now it's an insult.
I think it's, I mean, just like all human beings, sometimes we're cool, sometimes we're
that's
we're
true.
Not. So,
I guess feeling like it that way.
So you thought Chris was pretty cool right off the bat.
Yeah, I did.
And how did the topic of like being filmmakers from Bell come up? Oh, you're a filmmaker from Bell, obviously.
We didn't know we were anywhere close to each other before that. I figured like, because Tony told me he was from Long Beach.
Shout out Tony Romigio.
Yeah.
Tony's not from Long Beach.
No,
he?
But he probably said that just to look cool.
Just to be
no, just because he's like, really? I think he meant that he went to college in Long Beach.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
LBCC?
Because he does go to college in Long Beach.
LBCC?
Yeah. And when we met, you know, the guy, Rafael Agustin, shouts out because he is the one that got me on the photo shoot. He's in charge of the Youth Cinema Project, which Leo is a product of. Yeah. So when I got there, I saw it was me, it was another filmmaker dude, it was her, and then another little girl. And so like we were like the four, Frida, we were like the four like filmmakers chosen to be a part of that.
That's dope.
Picture. And what? So I talked to her a little bit, and I tell her this, but it, like when I first met her, I thought like, I don't know why, just because I just assume, I know this sounds like very sexist, but I just assume this from every woman who's a filmmaker, like that they hate me. Ooh. Just right off the bat, especially because I got buttoned down, I got my fucking chain rolling. No, don't do that. No, it's not that big. I just thought, like, you know, I'm so used to people just hating me just for existing. So like, I'm like, yeah, this girl clearly hates me.
Maybe button your shirt up.
Well, no, because
well, then don't complain.
I know. Yeah, I'm not. That's I'm right. Oh, that's true. Yeah, don't complain if you don't want the. Yeah, but I just assumed she didn't like me, you know, because we were introduced through Rafael. He's like, oh, you guys should meet. And then so I'm like, oh, hi. And then she's like, hey, how's it going? And then we talked a little bit about just like, what do you have? Like, oh, I have a short. I'm like, oh, I have a movie. So you have a movie? I'm like, yeah. And then like one of the conversations we had, which I clearly remember, is she said, she's like, oh, yeah, my friend made a movie too that's playing there. It's the trailer's super beautiful. It's beautifully shot. I'm like, oh, yeah, my trailer's cool too, but it's not beautiful. She's like, you don't think your movie's beautiful? I'm like, it's beautiful in a different way. Like, it's not beautifully shot. Like, it's beautiful, like, in it. It's cool. Like, it's a, you know, cool-looking trailer, but it's not, like, beautiful. And she's like, what do you mean? And so then I showed her. I don't know. That's an exchange.
And then boom, friendship formed.
Yeah. But I thought I was, like, messing it up. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, here I am just talking about me. Open chest, Jesus shirt, chain hanging. Like, this girl hates me. And then I get home. I have a nasty headache. I get home. I lay down. And I get this like random Instagram message saying like, hey, like I thought you were really cool. Just wanted to say hi. You know what? I will read you what she said. But you know,
Leo, can you explain the Youth Cinema Project to me? Because I have no idea what that is.
Yes, right? Please.
So the Youth Cinema Project is kind of a branch off of LFI.
What is that?
Latino Film Institute, which is a program also owned by Edward James Olmos.
Yeah, they funded LaLeaf.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit. Shout out Edward.
Yeah, so they fund programs for kids in high school, middle school, and elementary school, and they provide them with like professional grade equipment so they can kind of learn the ins and outs of the business and see. And they can actually like, you know, try things out.
What the fuck?
I don't think this was during our time.
Oh, this is like a new
thing? Yeah, it's really new.
Is new new?
Yeah.
Get that new new?
Makes sense. And the Youth Cinema Project is similar to LL?
No, that's what
the Youth Cinema Project is. It's the not the company. It's the, you know.
It's a little branch.
Yeah.
And how many people were a part of? Was it like a class or a group or a grant or what was it like?
Well, for our school, there was two classes, so there's two different periods, and
it was a class.
Yeah, it was a class. It was an elective.
That's dope.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Bell High School, get it together.
Yeah, Maywood also.
No, Maywood.
Well, here was the message that she sent me. Hi, Chris. I hope this isn't too weird of... Oh, excuse me. I hope this isn't too weird, but I felt an inclination, steeper than the bridge we walked up, to talk to you. You have a great presence and just so much light. Cool shirt and chain.
Oh.
I thought that was the sweetest thing ever. I was like, what is... I'm like, is this a joke?
Cool shirt.
Like, she fucking with me.
Like,
did Angel put her up to this?
Cool shirt and chain,
yeah,
bro.
Cool shirt and chain. Yeah.
I dug it.
And then she said... Hey, man. Because I wrote back, I'm like... I wrote back the laughing emojis. I'm like, no, this is not weird at all. I'm like, so much light. I love that. She's like, yeah, dude. Like, when you walked in there, it came alive. See that?
That's true.
That's called presence, boy.
Well, I'm not even going to say anything, bro. You need a good balance of people like that, but also, I know specifically, you need your anchors, but this isn't about you, bro.
No, it's not about me. This is about sharing some.
This is about our homie.
Leonessa.
How was attending Bell Gardens High School?
Bell Gardens High School was a step up from Maywood Academy.
You went to Maywood Academy?
To Maywood Academy.
What? For how long?
For my freshman and sophomore year. And then I dipped.
Damn, that shit's whack.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris, but Maywood Academy? No, thank you.
I was there for the people, not necessarily the curriculum.
I see. Well,
that's it.
You're never anywhere for the curriculum.
Yeah.
As you heard
last episode.
High five!
Boy! All right. What was the difference between Maywood and Bell and Bell Gardens? Like what changed from your experiences there?
I felt like the atmosphere was really different. So, like, I know that, I don't know. I couldn't relate to anybody from the school.
From
so
Maywood?
It was kinda, yeah, it was kind of weird. Huh. And I felt like for some reason I was being restricted. I'm not really
That's
sure.
That's because the uniforms.
It was their uniforms.
Yeah,
exactly. They want to make you into, like, a freaking robot.
Yeah. You used to fight everything.
I hate the color blue now. That was our...
I remember.
Colors, yeah.
You had blue shirt and khaki pants. I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would see them all the time. I'm wearing khaki pants right now. I don't mind them too much.
So it was in high school then where you feel like you kind of like... Because you're just kind of fresh out. You just graduated.
Yeah, I did just graduate.
So is you would you say that like when you got there, like that's where you really got to just kind of blossom?
Yeah, when I got to Bell Gardens High School is when I branched out and I became who I...
Do you want to talk about a big hurdle you overcame during your high school years?
Well, first, how did you... Sorry.
Always.
Well, first, before we get on that, how did you even... When did you even know you wanted to be a filmmaker? Do you have any, like, label for yourself? Like, editor, writer, or something like that?
I used to write a lot, even before then. I used to write little books and stories and things, and people would read them and be like, oh, nice, this is pretty cool, this is pretty interesting. And I used to make, like, dumb videos when I was young. Like, really
Like
cringy.
All of us?
Yeah, like, cringy videos. Nice. But I never knew that, like, I would want to make actual serious things until I went to Bell Gardens High School and I took the class.
So you discovered your love... In high school.
Yeah.
Same as me. I didn't know what I wanted to do until earlier.
Yeah, that's how you guys are similar. I think you both found out at the same time, like 11th grade.
Yeah, 11th grade is when I found out my...
That's crazy.
Pretty cool. You know, it was so funny you mentioned making like cringy videos. Like, I see my nephews and my niece. They're like 7 or 8 years old. And they're vlogging. And it's so fucking weird. Like, they'll put up their iPhone... Well, my sister's iPhone. They don't have phones. Yeah. But they'll put my sister's iPhone and they'll be like, hi, welcome back to another episode. I'm here with my brother, Joseph.
My brother, Ethan, does that. He's like, hey, what's up, guys? I'm here eating cereal. I'm like, Ethan, nobody cares about you eating fucking cereal at 2 in the morning.
It's so weird. And then I go and I'm like, I like ruin their vlog. I'm like, hey, what's up? What are you guys doing? And I'm like, get out of our video. And they'll be like, anyway, guys, we have to go to sleep now. So don't forget to subscribe. I'm like, you don't even have
smash that like button.
It's like you don't
notification
even,
squad.
They legit say smash that like button. Oh, and I'm just like, you don't even have a YouTube channel. Like, you're not even gonna upload this. Like, what are you doing?
So, okay, so then, right, so what was, would you like to, do? You, are you comfortable sharing, like, the big hurdle you had to overcome during high school?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with it.
Sure, let's talk about it. Because I feel like that really, why I bring it up is because I feel like that really is why you sort of became your own, and you kind of found maybe your way into, I don't know, I'm just assuming.
A
so
big
you,
hurdle?
You slap it to me, sock it to me.
Oh, yeah. I struggled a lot with self-image, only because I literally weighed 220 pounds I was 5'3", and I was just huge, and I was very uncomfortable with who I was, and I didn't know what I was doing, and it was just like just all horrible things. Yeah.
Well, I think it's important for a lot of other, you know, I mean, guys and girls, but I know that's something that girls go through a lot, especially they're more publicly shamed, I guess, sometimes, like, for being, you know, heavy.
Yeah.
And like, so, like, that's why, like, it's important to talk about, like, how, like, you know, it really, you know, comes in all shapes and sizes, and, like, you know, I think it's important that people know that you struggle with that, because when you look at you, you're like, oh, you must have looked like this all your life, and it's like, no, you just kind of, when did it all change for you?
How did going through that experience, did that experience, in your opinion, like, shape you, as a creative, or do you think, like, you just stayed the same throughout, like, your change and all that stuff?
No, I feel like I was really uncomfortable when I was big, so that really emulated the way that I, like, interacted with people. I was very angry all the time, so people were like, whoa, what's up, Lunisa, trying to vibe with me. I'm like, oh, get the fuck away from me. Like,
why were you so angry?
And, like, I don't know. I think it was just, like, I was very uncomfortable with myself, and I felt like everybody was just, like, poking at me, like, everybody. It felt weird. So then when I started, like, looking at myself, I was like, dang, like, no wonder people treat me like crap. Like, I treat myself like crap.
What was like the breaking point? Like, what caused like your fucking just decision to be like, I'm gonna make a change?
I talked about this with other people. I don't know if this is too personal to talk about.
Don't get into the details, but just like what, like, you know, the event. I know what it is, but just, you know.
I don't know. I just realized how unhappy I was, and it was just like, it was just so bad, you know. And I was like, do I really want to live like this for the rest of my life? So I just decided, what can I do to fix it? And what's the big problem? And the big problem was my weight.
There you go. Just like Michael Jackson said, I'm fighting with the man in the mirror.
I thought you were going to say, just like Michael Jackson. Like, when did Michael Jackson ever become overweight and fucking, like, gain it all back?
asking him to change his ways.
Diet.
and then he says, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. That's exactly what happened.
That's cool.
Exactly what happened.
I think confirmed Leo was listening to a Michael Jackson song. And she's like, yeah. You know what?
Biggest Michael Jackson fan ever.
I do need to make a change. And it starts now. Starts with this song.
So what was it about film like what drew you to that, like, because, you know, sometimes people want to you know, in creative ventures they want to do like writing or acting, even I know you do a little bit of that, but like, yeah. why did it become film?
I feel like film is very diverse in the type of jobs you can do. You can literally have any type of interest and still be able to link it to film, literally. Like, I love writing. I could write anything I want to. I could write my own pieces, or I can even edit other people's pieces. I like to kind of tell people what to do, so I was able to make that into like a directing job and things like that.
Nice.
So obviously you're a woman of color. I don't know how much you could have faced in high school, but was there anything, any like, did you feel any
like doubt?
Pushback or doubt, or any like struggles specifically with being a woman of color filmmaker or a creative in general? Because that's something that me and Chris can't really speak to, because we're fucking...
Right, because they were men. Like, we're like, we're directors. They're like, yeah.
We're men and we take up a lot of space, so, like, I don't know how if you experience anything in your career, I guess, as a filmmaker.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like now it's, like, the time for women, because a lot of people are like,
sure.
Yeah, like, step up, oh, you're a woman, and then they get all excited, and they're like, yes, let me help you. But when I first started, definitely, like, they used to take us on these field trips, and... like, we would go and meet people, and they'd be like, oh, so what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm just behind the camera. Like, oh, yeah, for sure. Like, they obviously, that's where I belong, you know? Like, that's how they insinuated it. But this year, like, I wrote, directed, acted, and edited my own thing. And they're like, yeah, what the heck? Like, they're like, what, you did that? I'm like, yes, it's me. And I get so excited, you know?
And that one is First Date.
First Date.
That's your first show.
Find it on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. It's really great. So I actually wanted to ask about that. Do you have any questions, Angel, before I ask?
Well, I was just saying, literally, I just Googled best director, and like, it takes like fucking 15 white old guys until you get to Catherine Bigelow.
Who's the first one? Hitchcock?
No. Nolan. Steven Spielberg. Guillermo del Toro. Scorsese. You fucking know the names. Yeah. It's shit like that. And it's just like a bunch of old white dudes and Guillermo del Toro. and then you fucking sea of old white dudes.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, I hate to play devil's advocate here, but like...
Go ahead.
In a way, like, they didn't... I mean, like, I think it's fucking awesome that women are now, like, being able... Or not even just, like, stepping up, but that they're being given, like, the chance to
do it. A platform.
Right. But I also think it's kind of weird for people to also, like... shit on these directors just for being guys, because like that I would really hate that if that happened to me. They're like, fucking Chris, you know, Chris and Angel, like, they only came up and they got successful because they're fucking men. It's like, there was less of a drawback, you know, and like opportunities because of that, like, they're, you know.
Yeah, I think, not that it's like we didn't get the opportunities because we're men, but we have an advantage because we're men.
But and even it's, then, it's like,
it's something we have to acknowledge. Even if you don't want to, it's something we have to acknowledge.
That's what I think, like, you kind of did it playfully, but, like, people do it for real. They're like, well, fuck Christopher Nolan. It's like, why? Like,
yeah, I mean, he makes good movies.
He's just doing what he loves, like, just like anybody else.
But, like,
it's not his fault that he has Born of the Penis.
Yeah, it just sucks that, like, if you put, like, me and Leo next to each other and they're like, who's the director? They'll probably point at me.
Yeah,
you know, it's the same thing. There was this an experiment a long time ago where they gave these young kids like two dolls. One was a black baby and one was a white baby, and they're like, which one's the good baby and which one's the bad baby? They all said like the black baby's the bad one, the white baby's the good one. It's just like the shit that we just like.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring her on, because she's crazy. You know, we say that we're the fucking pioneers of like this new wave, but she's really like the commanding one, because like she's so young, she's doing things like, she's already got a fucking movie in a film festival playing at the Chinese theaters.
Fuck yes.
And like, she's gonna do, oh, I shouldn't say this yet, but you know, she's doing so many things, she's doing so many big things, and it's like,
I
dude
heard
like
that.
This
I heard that.
this is the future. This is what gets me excited. This is why I wanted to bring her on.
We are the future.
We are, but she it's really mostly
but
her.
It's mostly you.
It's mostly her.
No. You,
the future is female.
Me and Chris are destined to fail, and you have to pick
I know,
up the
yeah.
pieces.
No, don't say that.
We're all gonna die of overdoses, yes. And Leo's just gonna keep going on
before we even get
all of
famous.
Us.
We're just gonna go straight into. We're gonna skip the famous part and just go
straight
into
the overdose to the fall.
Yeah,
it's the fall and the fall of
exactly.
Chris and Angel.
Like, fuck it, bro. No, but I think I think it's cool to have you on, just because, like, again, we wanna make it feel like all these, like, Southeast LA artists are like a fucking yes. community, and they're all friends and they all work together, and then so people are gonna be like, holy shit, all these talented ass people like actually hang out and fucking make things together. Right. So it's pretty cool. How do you fucking,
well, tell us about like the short First Date. Give us a little backstory on it for anybody that hasn't seen it yet or yeah. will see it.
If you haven't seen it, pause this podcast, go watch First Date, and now you're gonna get a behind the scenes scoop and into First Date.
Just look up First Date and then Leonisa Duarte, her name. It'll be the first one.
Why'd you make that short?
I made it the beginning of this semester, so I want to say that's August, September, mm-hmm. when I went into school. I started writing it, and then we actually started filming on February 14th. So we had 4 months to shoot.
So, hang on. Now that you made it, wow, that sounds so before. Yeah. Now that you made it, fuck, I'm sorry, I was trying to improvise
fucking
there. No,
Chris, fucking, this is Chris trying to be sneaky, just be like looking down on his phone.
Now that you
are a successful filmmaker, how does being a successful filmmaker?
No, I was gonna say, so tell us a little bit about like the style behind it, like what inspired the style, because it's shot as a mockumentary. I don't want to speak for you too much because I already feel weird being a guy and talking to you, but you know, let's
okay. Yeah, shut up, guy.
I know. I'm sorry, a fellow guy. Let's let the woman talk. I'm sorry.
Oh my god, like, don't say it like that either. Yeah, let's let the women talk.
Oh my god.
Yeah, the most problematic episode of the Us podcast yet.
This is the end.
It's only gonna get more problematic.
Here we go.
Well, it's a mockumentary, and it's a mockumentary, and I got the inspiration from Parks and Rec and nice. The Office, which are two shows. That
why
I
did that? Why did that style of like shooting interest you and to do it that in that way, because you could have just done it straight form narrative, yeah. but like you decided like, oh, this would be fun.
Yeah, I think the shows are hilarious. Like, those are the ones that I watch all the time. It's like the very subtle humor that only a few people can see, and it's like the weeded people that can like see it, and I kind of wanted my story to do that. Like, there's a couple jokes in the short that some people didn't catch, and I like it. Yeah. You know, I got away with a lot.
Yeah.
Why was his jacket so small?
I don't know. See, that's the point. Like, I was pitching this to someone, and I
great. I came here for answers.
And I get it.
And you know as much as I do.
It's like an ArcLight Q&A. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, dude,
like,
exactly.
I'm asking you.
Man, I fucking hate. I love and hate going to Q&As. I love seeing the director and, like, just hearing him talk. And I hate these fucking people that are like, I just want to start off by saying thank you so much for making this movie. It's so inspirational. Thank you so much. Anyway, my question is it hard making a movie? It's fucking every Q&A ever. Like, it's pretty hard.
Sorry. So, the story behind the jacket.
Why was the jacket so small?
Well, it could have, like, if I want to get deep or whatever, I guess maybe. Because, like, the thing was is that it was originally a pitch, like, it was an elevator pitch. They made us all, it was an activity. They made mm-hmm. us all go to the front of the class, and they're like, okay, let's think of movies. If you have an idea, then stick it out there and we'll figure it out. And I go, okay. And I made up this completely other different movie that I didn't want to do. And I was like, dang it, it's my turn. So then I went up and I was like thinking of what I could do. I go, what's like the... What's
you hadn't prepared anything?
No.
This was an on the fly
yeah,
pitch.
Yeah, wow. It was. So I was like, what? I was going on and on. I was like, yeah, this girl comes from like a weird place, Juneau, Alaska. I took Alaskan studies in middle school. Mm. So I was like, oh, she came.
Why
from...
the fuck did they offer that? Why?
Right?
What middle school so I can talk shit?
Orchard Academy.
Fucking Orchard Academy? Alaskan studies?
Your fucking orchards?
What the fuck? Continue.
Have a class about your goddamn orchards, Orchard Academy.
Here, you're from Southeast LA. How about let's learn about Alaska?
Instead of learning about how to prepare taxes, let's learn about fucking Alaska.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, okay. Sorry to interrupt. Oh, God. What the apologize. I apologize on behalf of all men.
Oh my god.
Chris Carmona! Shut up.
So then, yeah, you were pitching?
Yeah, so I was like, okay, what's a weird place? Do you know Alaska? She's coming here to Bell Gardens, and she wants a Hollywood experience. My teacher goes, the Hollywood experience in Bell? I go, yeah, exactly. Mm. And he was like, okay. Yeah, he was like, whatever. So then I kept continuing, and I was like, oh, God, I gotta think of something. She finds, like, this boy, and he's very popular, and she loves him, and they like, she's so excited to go on this date, and this kid, like, you know, there's like some rumor going around that he's like weird or something, but she can't figure out what, because she's new. And so she goes on the date and she's like, oh my god, like, what's wrong with him? And it's just the most minute thing. Like, who's gonna predict that he's gonna take out a tiny sweater? Like, that's what's wrong with him.
I didn't.
Hold me closer, tiny sweater.
That's cool. That's crazy. And you know what? Like, I will let you tell this story, but you got actually something pretty cool out of premiering your short. You got a little something.
What happened
for it?
So this short premiered where?
It premiered at the Chinese Theater.
Whoa, for La Leaf, right?
The Latino International Film Festival.
You know what La Leaf stands for. We said in the last episode. That's right. Go back there, look it up. Watch the whole episode.
I'm too tired to remember.
Yeah, La Leaf is dope. And look at that. Chris was in it. Leo was in it. Mm-hmm. So what's this big thing hearing about?
Whose number you got because of it?
You got someone's number?
Yeah. So we had a Q&A at the end of the screening, and when they were talking about mine, a lot of people were just like, dang, like, that was a fun movie. And I was like, oh, thank you. Like, and I started talking about it like the way I'm talking about it now, and this guy stands up. We're gonna open him to the audience. And the guy stands up, he's like, hey, my name is Efren, and I worked on Napoleon Dynamite. And I screamed, I was like, ah!
Pedro!
Really?
Pedro, bro!
Pedro was there?
I was like, Efren? Oh my... And like, I didn't... Like, I was just kind of like... So like at the end after...
Was he just flexing? Like, that's...
Yeah, I'm Pedro, guys.
Yeah, right, it's like... Well,
he was there. He was there at the fest, though.
Yeah, he was.
Been there. Oh, yeah. So he was like a guest?
He just showed up. He just goes to the Chinese Theaters weekly. He's like, by the way, guys,
I'm Pedro.
It's me.
So Ephraim says, what's up? I'm Pedro from Vote for Pedro.
What did he ask you?
He didn't say anything. He didn't ask me anything. He said a comment. He was like, you know, like, I'm so glad that someone your age can create this kind of content. You know, like, it's very cool and it's very just like flowy, and I can see you in it. And I was like, oh, thank you.
That's dope.
Yeah. And at the end of it, we had like a red carpet event, and it was me and my three friends, Danica, Anna, and Adrian.
Shout out.
Shout out to all of them. I don't know him, but they seem like great people.
I know Adrian. He's cool.
Yeah. So it was all of us, and Efren came up to us, and he was like, what's up, guys? Like, and we were like, oh my god, like, we were all like fangirling, because we love that movie. It's such a great movie. And we were just like,
did you ask him, you ever take it on some sweet jumps?
I asked him that about his title.
Oh my god.
But he was just talking to us, you know, and he was just like, I'm a very big advocate for giving a platform to kids like you, you know, like, you guys need it. And you know what? If you have any questions, I'm here right now. Ask them to me. You know what? Forget it. You know what? Everyone pull out your phone.
Forget it. You know what?
You're out of time.
You don't fuck you. You know who I am. Like, you know, I love...
Forget it. I'm not this bitch.
Yeah, he's like, I love students. I love Latinos. Ask me anything. What? You know what? Fucking forget about it. Forget I even fucking offered, okay? You know what? What the fuck?
That was too long. Yeah,
the fuck? You're gonna make me wait for you? The fuck? Get the fuck out of here.
I'm Napoleon. I mean, I'm Pedro.
I'm fucking out of here. Fuck you. Vote for...
No,
for
actually,
me.
He stood there for 2 hours and talked to us.
What?
Yeah, wow. But in addition to that, he was like, you know what? No, you can't... Like, you can probably think of things other times and... Have my phone number.
And he gave it to all three of you?
He gave it to all four of us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you texting him?
Yeah, we've been corresponding. We're trying to come up with this book club called... What is it? Film Geek Book Club. We were going to call it Sisterhood of the Sisterhood of the Amateur Films, but he liked Film Geek Book Club better.
Film Geek... Wow. So is it a movie club or a book club or both?
I think it's both, because he was making suggestions for books that we need to read as like filmmakers. Like, he suggested Take the Cat or something?
Save the Cat!
Save the Cat. Meh. And just other monologue books. He was just like, oh yeah, just make sure you pick up on monologues. Like, it's very good for your career, because he assumed that I wanted to just be an actor, but I was like, no.
I don't know how I feel about learning film through books.
Yeah, same. I mean, no, like, it's good to have them and, like, skim through them, but, like, but that shouldn't be, like, that's a whole nother discussion, but really, like, yeah, like, it's good. It's cool that he's even, like, reaching out.
No, yeah, definitely. He's cool.
Good. Way to give back to the community, Pedro.
I know. Thank you, Efren Ramirez.
Straight up.
Appreciate you.
What a homie. I hope... I
had no idea you were all about it.
I hope we become home... I hope we become homies, and I hope we all end up doing the same
Do you
shit
know
together.
Esqueleto from Naturally
Immune. Dude, that would be sick.
Same director. I, by
can you? I'll be like, every, bring all the fucking.
Bring all of them.
Bring all the brown fucking.
Bring,
side.
Bring Chancho.
Chancho. Bring all the brown stereotypes. Sweet. Shit.
Okay,
dude, we were just talking about fucking Nacho Libre the other time.
We were. Fucking damn, these are all connecting. All these
dude,
episodes.
All this fucking the Us Podcast expanded universe.
So Leo, I told them I didn't tell you this beforehand, but I told them Angel that you have sort of a big announcement to make.
Oh,
it's just exciting to me just because it's it's just I don't know. It, when I heard it, I flipped. If you remember, yeah, I flipped my lid. I was really excited.
He did a backflip.
He was screaming.
Yeah, he did it back. I said, Leo, what the fuck?
You're peeking the gun, you that's
why,
fucking.
That's why I'm far away.
All right. Podcast over.
Anyway, no. You always say that every episode. You know what? Podcast
you know,
over.
You know what? Fuck this podcast.
Angel's
I'm
always
done.
Quitting.
I'm fucking done.
Leo, I'm sorry we keep mansplaining you. Can you please. What is the big announcement that I am putting you on the spot for right now?
So me and my friends, the four people that I mentioned before, are going up and filming our first feature film.
What? Where?
Here in Bell.
The fuck?
Look at all, that, all four of you? 17 years old.
Are you all 17?
Yeah.
No, they're going to be 18
yeah,
soon, right?
I'm 18 what? In like a week.
What the fuck? Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Happy birthday. It's your motherfucking birthday.
It's birthday. Yeah. Bad labor reference coming soon.
Self-referential. That's fucking crazy.
Yes, do what a feature, man?
How do you feel? How do you? Why are you doing this?
No. That's not it. Tell them what kind of feature it is.
Oh, it's a period piece.
What the fuck?
In the '50s, boy.
A '50s feature.
Yeah.
In Bell.
In Bell.
Y'all are wild. That's all
we're,
I can say.
Yeah,
what
we
makes
are.
You, what
gives you again, the fucking right?
No, I'm just gonna say like how I feel, like how what made you come to this decision and what like how because okay, something I talk to Chris about all the time is the feeling of not feeling good enough, not yeah. feeling prepared. How can you just dive into something so difficult at such a young age?
Well, I had written this 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. The script, and it was pretty bad, and I just kind of like left it alone. I was like, like I was supposed to film it last summer, but then I dropped it. I was like, well, I don't think it's time yet, so I just didn't do it. But then I went to the premiere of Bad Labor, and I heard Chris Carmona's spiel on how he was just like, you gotta go for it, you
were
know?
You at the premiere?
Yeah, I was
yeah
the...
she was there.
Yeah,
you didn't see her?
No,
she was the most beautiful girl in the room.
Oh my god.
She was were you walking were you two walking when you said the douchebag
yeah,
thing
was,
did you fucking do you fucking remember what he told me?
What did he say?
We were walking down the fucking street, crossing the street, we crossed paths, and this
story.
I'm like, hey, what's up, Chris? I'm going home. And then he's like, it's always nice to meet a fan.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck?
I was drunk, okay?
Fuck
Jesus,
you.
Break.
I'm back.
I knew it was you. It's not like I really thought it was a fan. I knew it was
you didn't even look at me.
I did look at you,
you
but
didn't.
I just, my eyes weren't working that night. I was
you were
pissed.
There to witness
I,
that.
I was drunk and I was
I will
pissed.
Never forget
No, I was pissed too, by the way. So like, yeah. Dude, saying that gave me a good laugh.
I will never forget it. Anyway.
2 years ago.
Did, was that...
You were inspired...
Leo, you didn't tell me that. Was
you
that...
Inspired
did Bad Labor really, like, get
I
you...
I swear to God. Dude, like, when you were talking about it, you're like, oh, yeah, we filmed it in 2 weeks. I, like, hit Adrian. He was sitting next to me. I go, we're filming next week. And
yeah.
So we started, like, we've been fixing the script over the last couple of days.
Dude, I'm telling you, like, that fucking screening... inspired so many fucking people.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm happy.
And that was your fucking goal. Like,
yes.
You've mentioned
that's,
over
that's
and over.
Honestly, like, look, jokes aside... That's really what I want. Like, you know, obviously, you know, I love this movie and I'll sing its high praises, but I know it's, you know, it's flawed. I know it's, you know, it's a first feature. It's got its little, you know, buffs here and there, but ultimately, I wanted everybody to show up was, it's not even if you're a filmmaker, like, even if you're just trying to start your own car washing business or something, like, just as long as you see that, like, what kind of heights your dream can ascend you to, it's like, dude, it's like, I knew everybody in that room. Which is why, like, for them to see me, like, and to be in this theater that they, you know, paid money to watch, is like, fuck, dude. It's like, if this guy can do it, like, I can.
Shout out to Hugo for buying my ticket.
Hugo.
Thank
for
you.
For setting up everything,
yeah,
by the
exactly.
way. Hugo Alvarez. Love you, bro.
Yeah, dude. That was, it was a monumental moment.
Yeah.
And so
I'm glad it's being recognized as such. Like I heard it a little bit after the screen, like, dude, you're in Spider-Man, I'm like, oh cool. But like I'm hearing it more like through Leo, through you, through, you know, other people.
Actually seeing the what comes out of it instead of just hearing it, like, right. Seeing someone like Leo fucking make her first feature and
at 17.
17. Fuck. Oh, well, 18 technically.
Well, yeah, 18.
So
sure.
Maybe you'll be 19 like Chris.
Maybe.
Who knows? Depends.
But she's
making a movie. She's way better than me. Making a movie. Yeah, you think so?
No. Oh yeah, she is. She's so much better. Than
I think so too.
Well, of course.
Well, talking about being like a filmmaker and stuff, is there anything in life that like inspires you as a filmmaker? Either other films or just other pieces of art in general.
Well, like, I think I live life very visually.
On the edge.
Yeah, on the edge. I live life very visually, and sometimes when I look around, I'm like, dang, this would be a really cool picture. Like, and I just think of things like that for some reason, or I like to take in, like, different events and things like that, and I'm just like, oh, dang, like, I just like to live in the moment, you know, and everything's just very visual. I think of things, like, looking at things, and I just always, like, try to show this passion and this image to people that I talk to through my words, but sometimes, like, if you can just hear right now, I suck. So I was like, you know what?
What are you talking about?
No, I literally forgot the question halfway through, and then I remembered.
Oh.
I ramble a lot.
Sometimes I'll start a sentence, and I won't know where it's going. That's
what I did right now. What's that
from? The Office. No, that's cool. I mean, that's really why I wanted to bring her on here, because, like, look, like we're looking at this generation's Ava DuVernay, Catherine Bigelow,
maybe,
you know, the next Guillermo del Toro. She's got the glasses.
Yeah, there you go.
You're half the glasses.
You're halfway there.
Well, that's why, like I said, like I just think it's so cool to hear like the young voice of like who will soon become everybody's new favorite director, and that just gets me so fucking jacked. That's why I love doing the show with you, because you're gonna be somebody's favorite director. I will. She's definitely.
We're all gonna be like super important parts of the community,
and that's why, like, this whole show is like you hear like the beginnings of that.
Exactly.
Like, how cool would it be like when she wins her first Oscar? Like, oh, go back and listen to her episode like years ago, and you just hear like, "Hey, I'm Leo." It's like, what the fuck? That's crazy.
I'm not really good at talking.
Yeah. And now she's got like, you know, fucking two Oscars.
Now she's like, "What's up, bitch?
What's up, motherfuckers? Suck it, Hollywood. Suck my big fat."
I'm like, oh, I'm like, God. Wow, you've really changed. Yeah, I think not to like keep jerking ourselves off, but it's like, I think it's just cool to have a platform for not super famous people,
yeah,
to fucking just not super famous but still talented as fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, you, I'll listen to all these other podcasts, and they're like relatively like known people that they'll get and they'll talk, and it's like, I just feel like a disconnect. It's like, what the fuck are you dealing with that I could relate to?
Yeah.
You know, like, for the most part, they say some dope shit sometimes.
Leo, we the common theme here is you being a woman. Do you feel any pressure at all? Feel any pressure at all? Being a woman, or do you not think about it? Or do you just see yourself as a director, not as a woman?
I see myself as a director, not as a woman. But it gets pointed out very often, especially...
Does it annoy you?
No, because I am a woman.
I know, right.
Wait,
I'm like,
what?
Oh, shit, no way.
Like, what? We have a lady on this show?
Chris, what the fuck? You're supposed to tell me these things before we start this goddamn podcast.
I had no fucking idea. It was the glasses that threw me off, bro. I just thought, next Guillermo del Toro right here.
It's that jawline.
Oh my.
It's that sharp jawline. No, so like, what does that mean to you? Like, that female narrative? And like, do you think you're going to play that card? Or do you just kind of want to, like, you know, what? Talk to me. What do you think?
Actually, let's do... actually, instead...
Ain't the common thing.
I want to do just like a general thing of how we feel as... Because we all have labels thrown on ourselves,
yeah,
whether
yeah.
we like it or not. So like,
that's true.
So so like, do you feel... Because like, me and Chris have to, quote-unquote, make Latino movies.
We have to be Latino filmmakers.
Yeah, and I mean, you're Latina too.
Yeah.
And so, like, that label goes on you too. Like, you have to live up to making Latino movies, but not on just that. It's like, you also have to make, like, feminine movies
and stuff.
And me and Chris have to make masculine movies, but not really, because we have less expectations.
No, we have to be inclusive.
Yeah,
it's like harder on us. Like, no more masks. Like, everybody has to be involved.
So there's, I feel, not that there's more pressure on you, but there's more expectations of what kind of content you can make.
You're labeled right off the bat, you know?
Yeah.
Do you feel that?
I do. Like, sometimes, like, I just do things I'm very spontaneous, so the things that I do are very spontaneous. So, like, making first date was very spontaneous for me. But once I saw it, like, we got it done, like, everything was finished, we premiered it, and all these people were coming up to me. It was just like a shock, you know? Like, I just did something that I thought was fun, and I did on the fly, and all these people were like, oh my god. Like, there's a guy, I can't remember his name, and I'm gonna punch myself for it. He was with Efren. And he was like, we need to take a picture because I know that this picture will be worth millions when I'm older, when you're older. Millions, and I was like, like, I was like, oh my god, like, I didn't know what to say. I was just like,
like, are you pranking me right now, bro?
I was like, oh my god,
is this a prank, bro?
It's the prank, bro. <You're>
like crying. it's a prank, bro. It's a prank, isn't it? It's a prank, isn't it?
So does it, like, not bother you that's going to be with you? Or, like, do you think you eventually are going to come to a place where you're going to own it, or are you going to try to, like, kind of keep distancing yourself?
I'm owning it. If that's what people expect from me, then I'm going to give it to them, you know?
Yeah.
And I expect that for myself too. I expect a lot of big things for myself because I know I can do it, you know? Like, I've half-assed a lot of things in my life, but I feel like this isn't something I'm going to half-ass, you know?
Does your culture play a big part in the art that you create?
I mean, I feel like it does, only because, let's say I made my film and people are like, oh, okay. Well, and then you say, okay, she's from Mexico. Oh, okay. You know, and they kind of, like, bring that into it.
Mm.
But I don't sit there in my writing room and I'm like, okay, I have to, like, somehow incorporate.
How do I honor my ancestors with this one?
Yeah, exactly.
It just kind of comes out. Yeah, that's like putting a little bit of you in, like, your work.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting because, like, you know, like, I have that Remezcla article, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says how this Mexican American filmmaker. I'm like, yeah. Oh wow, it begins.
Yeah, bro.
So it's like, so and my big. I asked her if she's gonna own it someday or just like let it or try to keep pushing away from it. Because when I was her age, I wanted to stay away from that. Like, yeah, I was never gonna deny. I mean, I can't deny that I am
a Mexican
American filmmaker. But I was like, no. But I make American movies. Like, that's like, you know, don't label me. So I'm not just gonna make the typical Latino movie. And then my first movie ended up being about a fucking Mexican day laborer.
I came to this country because.
But that's the thing. It's like my whole. I won't talk about this movie, but like my whole thing about Bad Labor is like it is a movie with Mexican. You know, like there a little bit of my culture is like a bit represented there, like a little bit of my unorthodox culture too, because I didn't grow up in a typical Mexican household. So what you see is like. Yeah, they're kind of Mexican, but, like, you know, they're just kind of, they're speaking in English, you know, there's not really any Spanish being thrown in, because, like, that was my life, and I feel like there's so many people who will watch that, hopefully, and be like, hey, yeah, like, there they go, they're not just, like, talking to each other in Spanish, like, they just speak English, because, they're, you know, they're comfortable with that, that's the language they've grown accustomed to.
Yeah, it's like, I hope, well...
So I'm owning it. Like I'm owning it, but yeah. I'm not gonna, I don't want to feel a pressure to keep doing, like... If it's a project where it feels natural, like, yeah, let that shine, let the brown shine, sure, of course. But if there's just like if I'm writing a movie about a white character, you know,
yes. I don't want to end up on a list like best Latino movies.
Yeah,
it's like, why does it have to be a Latino movie, bro? Why can't it just be a good movie? But I think that's something that all three of us are gonna have to face multiple times,
which I'm excited by. I mean, people, you know, will get mad at like, oh, like they're gonna label me as this. Is like, well, I'm gonna have a good time, you know, making stuff that's gonna make it harder for them to pin it down.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. This is kind of a little insider information. Mm-hmm. So, Me mm-hmm. Too, they're cutting the trailer already for Instant Crush,
mm-hmm.
and they showed it to me. Oh wow! So they. I can't say too much about it, but they're really, you know, that one trailer, and I can't fault the editor. I mean, he's just doing his job. But they're really trying to shape it to be this. They feel like Camila Cabello, like this Camila Cabello pop.
It's going to be very sexy, very salsa.
Yeah, exactly. Like this pop music and like these cute moments. And then, like, when it comes to the one guy who's kind of like a Latino, like, thug, they get the one line where he goes, and we do my girl food. I'm like, why are you putting that when he says other things? That's the one time he says that.
What's up, fool? What you doing with my girl, dog?
My girl. I thought I told you she wasn't interested, fool. And I'm like, God.
This
like,
is my hood, oh bro.
And then not only that, to make it worse, they play like reggaeton in the background when he... I'm like, that's not the...
get ready for the spiciest series you've ever seen.
The plus side is that even the executives, when they saw it, they said like, this is obviously not what we want. Like, this is really...
This isn't what it is.
This isn't what it is. I'm like, okay, well... To me, like, I'm glad that my stuff is challenging for other people to try to like market, like at least in the cliche, you know, Latino young love story way. Like, you know, the pop music did not fit the the whole bit of like the Spanish like did not fit. It was like now they're gonna have to try to rethink it. And that's the thing, they've been like, not, I'm not shitting on the company, but just companies or studios like this have been like, so it's not their fault, they've just been so molded to this idea that we're just this one note thing, that when something kind of different comes along, not that it's so groundbreaking, but just because it's a weird show, it's just like, I just shot it like you would shoot anything else. Yeah. Like, how do we market this, but also show that it's Latino and try to make it appealing for it to be bought, you know?
Wait, what is it? What? How can I do this? I mean, we need reggaeton. Like, we're reggaeton lovers.
How come nobody says essay? What the fuck? How do we market this shit?
Where's the Spanish? Dude, legit, also a quick story. We'll get back to you, Leo, right now. I'm so
sorry. Hang on a second.
So sorry we're just hijacking Missy. Your fucking show. But quick story. I read this young adult book recently for my internship. And it was written by a white lady, but it's like half of the book is about a Mexican character. And a lot of these characters speak in English, but then randomly will have like a Spanish word in there. And it almost felt like she just chose like words to replace.
Yeah.
Like he'll always to refer to his mom as
mi madre,
like it's just like, oh, I came home and I saw mi mom, mi madre, and I'm just like, no one, like, why are you writing it like that? or they'll just like say like just random Spanish words. It's like, oh, no one talks like that, but whatever, you do you. And so I feel like that just reminded me of that, and I hate when shit happens like that. And it's like the creator was thinking like, oh, you know, let me be realistic. Yeah. You know, they speak in English and Spanish, so let me throw in a Spanish word here and there, shit like that. I don't fucking,
it's weird. Like, you don't want to shit on their efforts, but like the execution is like,
exactly, because it's like, fuck, you're trying, but also maybe just like don't try.
Don't try. Yes. Or just tell another story about why people trying to figure themselves out.
Exactly. Leo, as a creator, do you find yourself telling certain stories more often than others, or is there certain topics that you like talking about?
I feel like, and I've gotten this from multiple people, that the characters that I write are me. So I feel like,
Who are you?
I don't know.
Wow.
Damn.
Wow, that's
deep, bro.
That's really deep.
Like, I feel like I have like a good image of myself. Like, I'm pretty like confident in like who I am and what I like, but is that really what, like, is that really who I am? You know, it's kind of weird to say, like, I like whatever, but like, I just wrote the character for Sam, and she's very just like quirky, but like, you know, she's like,
Sam is the character from First Date.
Yeah, Sam is the character from First Date, and she kind of is like me, I guess. I don't know, because when I first pitched it to everyone, they're like, Leo, you have to do it, like, no one else is like that, it's just you. And I was like, oh, okay. So I
get that too.
Yeah. So I had to do it. And then the one I wrote for Shocked, oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's your movie.
Yeah.
Your feature. That's what it's called.
That's Shocked. The name of the feature.
Called Shocked?
Shocked. So far, yeah. That's what it's called.
I got that.
Us Podcast exclusive.
Exclusive.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, I was writing the character, and the character's kind of different. She's sort of, like, she's very complicated, I think, you know? And it's very just a complex story. Like, it's got a lot of, like, inner workings to it, and it's kind of, like, you have to read it on paper, but also, like, you need to see it executed for you to kind of understand, and I hope I can do that. But when I showed it to Adrian, he was like, I think the only person that can do that is you, because I think that this is you in some form.
Ben Affleck ass fool.
So why this is your first feature? What about you felt like, yeah, this is what I want? Because I think the coolest thing I ever heard somebody say about first features is like, the first feature is what people will always associate you with.
That's true. But
like,
I
that, like, that's your introduction to the world.
Yeah.
So what true. What about this felt like, yeah, this is how I want people to meet Leonessa.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that. I just thought about the story, you know. I thought the story was pretty cool, and when I used to pitch it to people were like, what the heck? Like, they would just like give me a really big reaction. I was like, oh, well, that's pretty cool. Like, maybe I can do that.
Yeah, I got that too.
Yeah.
Do you when you think about the film industry, do you see any problems with it or anything you'd like to change? Because I feel like the way me and Chris see the film industry is very different from how you view it, just because you're 17, fresh out of high school.
Yeah. My mom has brought this to my attention, actually. Like, when I went to La Leaf, I would try to go to, like, after parties and go see more movies. And my mom would tell Adrian, because he volunteered there, don't leave her alone. Do not leave her alone, because of the stigma that...
It's full of Harvey Weinstein.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. And I just never really, like, I never associate. I was like, oh, shoot, you're right. Like, I never, like, thought about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's true, you know, like, I'm coming up and Maybe. I hope not.
Like, you want a movie deal, kid?
You're gonna be a star, don't you?
I hear you're making a
first. Take off your glasses, yeah.
Oh my god.
That's a fuck. We're making jokes, but that shit's real. That shit happens all the fucking time, and it's good. We're making efforts to change that shit, but it's gonna be hard. We're a long way away, and that's a hurdle that you're gonna have to fucking face.
Yeah, definitely.
That me and Chris don't have to, and it's just like it's fucked up. But I think you're a pretty strong person, and I think
I think I can deal.
Yeah, I think you'll fucking. I don't think you'll succumb to that.
No,
and I think
you're gonna say something else. I don't think you're gonna succumb to that.
I don't think you're gonna succumb to that.
Wow, problematic. If it wasn't before, it is now.
I didn't fucking say it. I didn't even say it.
No, I didn't emphasize the cum part.
All right, bro. I think you're gonna come out on top.
Come out on top?
Yeah.
You really want to open with that again?
I will. How can I say it a different way?
He said you
rise
like
to the occasion.
Yeah, I think they're gonna rise to the occasion, and you know, whatever. I think you're gonna be okay.
let's flip it. I feel like we're kind of just like Leo. Questions. Do you have any questions for us, or do you like comments, or just like what are you just feeling? You're okay.
How are you feeling right now?
Let's paint the scene. It's three of us. Angel and Leo are sitting on my bed. I'm sitting on my desk chair.
Yeah,
we're in my room. It's quiet.
We're in a triangle.
We're in a triangle, and we're just here.
Fun fact.
It's pretty late.
If we sit anywhere, we would always be a triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Math fact.
It's a cult.
Anyway, yeah, Illuminati confirmed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do you have anything or like anything you want to say to people? Like what? Because this whole show. I didn't get to explain to you before, but like I'm considering this like a time capsule of like catching us right before we all blow up. So if you got to like if you could think about future you ahead, like what would you like to hear yourself say, or just like what questions you
or
have?
Or just what's on your mind?
Yeah, the floor is yours. Let's just chat without just interrogating.
No pressure. Yeah, no. Go take over the show,
and
please.
You have 30 minutes left. Hurry up.
I think the most if I really wanted to hear myself say something is that. This month has been the biggest month of my entire life and probably my entire career. Because this movie that I wrote out of nowhere got presented and, you know, like, I was put into a newspaper and all kinds of other things. Like, who does that? You know, like, that's pretty crazy. And because of that, not only did I get, like, this coverage of what I do, but I was also able to meet you guys. Which is, I think, the best thing that's ever happened. Like, really, seriously, like, I'm
not... Oh, I'm gonna cry. We're gonna all have a good cry after this. That's super sweet, and,
What a great way to kick off your career, though, too, right? Like, doesn't it, like, motivate even more? It's like, dude, if I could fucking do this with this short, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm unstoppable.
Dude, fuck yeah, like, I think that is so dope. I wish I had that kind of... I guess I would say momentum, like, at that young age. Like, fuck, if I had a short film in La Leaf, like, when I was... not even out of high school yet, like I would be in a whole fucking other world, you know. Mm-hmm. And what sucks is I knew filmmakers in high school that did have like their films in these big ass like student high school film fests, and I just fucking felt so shitty because I was just like, well, that's not me.
Yeah.
And then so like how does that feel, like almost being on like almost being chosen as like you're like higher than everyone else, like the other filmmakers in your school per se, like it's like you're the fucking elite. Like, do you feel that
I don't pressure? Like to feel that, but I did, like when I was trying to find people to do Shocked with me, like I was trying to find like camera people and sound people, like anybody that was willing, and I would ask people like, hey, do you want to act in it? And they're like, ooh, like I had one of my friends, I asked him to be my main actor, and he was in a school play that we had. And when I asked him, he was like, I don't think I should do it. I know that you take your career very seriously. And I was like, whoa, like, this is not a serious film. This is what I want to do, you know? Like, I know that I've done this, you know, and I've been to the film festival, but that's not what it's about. What it's about is I want to also help people that are having this interest learn about it through me, because I'm literally on the same tier as them. We're on the same level. And who better to teach them than me?
Fuck right, so yeah. talk about that. Serious film. You've said that a couple of times. This is not a serious film. What does that mean to you?
I mean that I mean, it's a serious film in the aspect of like we want to get it right and it needs to, like, I want it to look good, but it's not serious meaning I'm gonna go and look for somebody that's done this film and this film and this film because they're good and they like their work. It's not about that.
I think that's important. Yeah. To illustrate, only because when I first started out, I think at the time I thought, yeah, my first movie is gonna be like, it'll either be like a really high end indie, you know, $1 million indie movie, or it'll be like a studio movie.
Yeah.
And then once I kind of like lived through it, I was just like, I'm like, you know what, I'm just gonna do it myself. Like, if Robert can do it, like, I can do it just as good, if not better. That's good that you have that mentality right off the bat, that you're not concerned with like, ooh, we gotta get someone with credits. Like, you're not even hitting up, like, are you hitting up Efren? Like, hey man, like, do you want to
be in my movie?
Hey, no,
she, no, see, like, that's
you,
cool.
You can't
she
do that. Not yet. You gotta, yeah, no, you gotta, no, have right. something to present.
Yeah, I know, of course.
But to piggyback what you just said, like, I think amateur stuff is like super important for like just being creative. Like,
oh yeah,
and not taking yourself too seriously. I think we all can agree, like, when you take film too seriously, like, that shit, it doesn't come out good.
I said, like, I had a horrible time making
that. Yeah.
I think maybe at some point in all our lives, we've all taken a step back and been like, holy shit, dude, I'm making a fucking movie. Like, I can't believe it. Why, how am I not having the most fun ever? Like,
yeah,
I'm here in this fucking room. Everyone's here just helping me out, making a movie. Like, this is the most fun thing ever. You don't want to be that fucking guy that's just like, oh my God, furrowed brow. Oh my God, that everything's going wrong.
Excuse you.
That one person. That one non-binary person.
That one non-gender conforming person. Angel, I want to ask you something.
Okay, go ahead.
You're sitting in a room with someone who's made a feature and someone who's about to make a feature. Uh-huh. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind?
What do you make of it? That's why I wanted to bring it, because I wanted to see like what you thought about this.
It's cool that you all feel ready to take that plunge, because I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
And I think I would have felt pressured to do it if I was like at a different point in my life in a few years ago. But I think I've gotten to a point in my life where I know exactly what I want to do, and I already know the path. Like, I've laid out the path that I'm taking.
Yeah.
And I'm just cruising, and I'm going the speed limit, and I'm just chilling.
You know what gets me excited, though, by hearing you say that, is like, I made one, she's going to make one, and like, when you make yours, your first one, it's going to fucking like,
it's gonna smoke.
It's gonna be like tight.
Hey, don't put this pressure on.
No. But like, no. I mean, I'm never gonna repeat this again. I'm just saying for now, just for the archives. But I love that. Like, you're talking about, I'm not ready. And the people listening to that, I know what fucking movie he's talking about. I love that.
You're like, you're hyping the future.
Right. Exactly. That's why that gets me so excited. Like, I'm the type of person that always thinks ahead, and like, I'm always thinking about the future. And like, to hear you say that, like, gets me jazzed, because I'm like, dude, but like, your person,
like, something's bubbling. I think, and I mentioned this in the last podcast, I believe that everyone needs to be where they need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like you needed to make Bad Labor. Leo's needs to make Shocked.
I needed to see Bad Labor.
Yeah, exactly. You needed to see Bad Labor in order to see Shocked. And now I'm sitting here, and
looking
I'm
at both of us.
And I'm going to make what I need to make.
Isn't that a nice chain reaction? Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. And I think all our shit is going to be exactly what they need to be. And it's going to be fucking super important. So we're going to start wrapping this up. But before we go, I wanted to ask one more thing of you, Leo, if you can indulge us.
No, yeah.
I want to know, as a filmmaker, is there anything that drives you as a filmmaker, or what keeps you pushing forward, or what do you want your impact as a filmmaker to be?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Like, what do you want to be remembered for?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
I love that question.
I think what really drives me in film, just like anything else in life, are the people that are in my life. So at first, like, the people that were kind of, like, making me do it, they're like, oh, come on, like, my friends, the four that I had mentioned before, they were the ones that were telling me that I needed to do it. They're like, come on, dude, like, you got it, you got to figure it out, you just got to do it, like, you have it already. And I was like, no. And then, like, I started meeting more people, and I met Chris, and, you know, that was, like, another step in the ladder where he was like,
Just fucking do it.
Like, and I told him about it. I was like, yeah, I'm making a short. And he was like, what the heck? Like, he started freaking out.
Fuck.
And like, that gave me like a, oh my God. Like, it made me like, heck yeah, I can do it. And then even after I saw his film, I was like, heck yeah, I can do it, you know?
Dude, Chris is I'm gonna say another nice thing. Chris,
oh wow. Two nice things.
You're the king of just like hyping people up.
Seriously.
Like, you can hype yourself up, but you do a really good job of like motivating people, making people feel good about themselves.
Yeah,
and
like,
hold on. I want to say this because I don't tell you this enough. But sometimes Chris will randomly send me a message saying how much he appreciates me and how much he likes that we're friends and that and all this nice shit. And that means a lot to me, even if I don't express it all that much. But like, it's really cool. It's really cool to know that. and the fact that like we're friends and you hype me up, I hype you up. And that's our timer. But we're going to keep fucking going. And it's just nice to be in this fucking room with everyone that just loves each other and loves film and wants each and every one of us to succeed. And I think that's really fucking
That's a beautiful thing. That doesn't happen often, unfortunately.
Exactly. It's unfortunately. And it all starts here and it all starts with us.
Look at that.
Damn.
Fuck.
And with that, we're going to fucking... We're gonna sign off. And
where can they find you, Leo? Where can people track your progress?
Yeah, how can we follow your progress, bro?
Oh, well, I have an Instagram and it's called uber.cool.man.
It'll be in the probably link in the description below or something.
They'll
wherever this
goes.
Use that
more than anything.
Cool.
So Instagram, hit her up if you want to be in her movies.
Yeah, please.
She needs actors.
She's
Leo.
Oh,
there's something else. There's one final bomb.
Yeah, I also just started a campaign with GoFundMe. I don't know what the limit is. Adrian did it, but we're trying to see if we can maybe get something to help the people that are helping us. So like to feed them, do whatever we need to do, get them transportation for helping us. But we have that up right now.
So you have a GoFundMe for your film, for your feature film, Shocked.
Yes.
Look that shit up. Hopefully this goes up in time to fucking
donate. Shot it.
Yeah, it's like, sorry. If it's not
up. No, but I wanted to give her the opportunity to.
If it's not up, we'll put this, we'll make this like a soundbite and then fucking put the shit on Instagram or something.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much,
Leo,
coming on.
Coming.
And,
yeah, no
and stay. We were supposed to record this at 7 p.m. We didn't start until fucking 9:30. So sorry about that.
No, it's
but
okay.
We fucking did
she
it. We got
patient.
Through
she
it.
She sat in the car
right
with
now.
Us
yeah.
while we went to go buy new mics.
Dude, we bought new mics. We had to come back. We had to go buy new batteries. Fucking 7-Eleven didn't have any batteries. Walgreens had some batteries. This was such a wholesome fucking podcast. And I don't want it to end, but it has to
Neither
end.
Do I.
And so thanks so much for listening.
Leo, you're the future.
Catch us fucking next episode. Follow Leo, follow Chris, follow me, like always, and we'll see y'all on the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Hey everyone, that was another episode of the Us Podcast. Make sure you catch us on our social medias. I am at Los Angel I Salinas on Instagram.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at the Chris Carmona.
Make sure you follow us on social media.
No!
It's okay. Make sure you follow the podcast on Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Write us a review. Say some nice things. Say some maybe not so nice things. Go ahead and tell us.
Please.
All right. Bye.
That sounded pretty good.